Welcome to a Friday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Riley alongside will take you to 3. Bill is off today, so back to the national net at that point, and we do have baseball, both stations, Giants and the Rockies tonight. If the Giants have a bad weekend, and they've had a few, it could be the bottom of the division for the Giants, and I hope that is not the case. We will find out tonight. The A's not playing well at all either, but they do have an important series, at least for the Rangers, as the Rangers are in Sacramento tonight. I'll tell you about the lineup for both stations tonight and across the weekend a little bit later, courtesy of our good friend Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering. Talk about it every day. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. Ed, one of the great benefactors for Fresno State, his alma mater, and his great business really helps out the Valley as a whole. And as always, through the Lyles College of Engineering on campus, the goal with fundraising to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully over the years. A lot of those grads go to work for Ed at Precision Civil Engineering, one of the best civil engineering companies you're going to find in the United States and across the world, for that matter. And we will get to those schedules, courtesy of Ed, a little bit later on. Jackson with me on a Friday. I mentioned that a couple of weeks. I was talking about it yesterday. It's happened the last few years. As we get to the season, Brian Panish will jump back in to the Friday slot. Jackson will go back to Thursday. And so Jackson will be on with us Tuesdays and Thursdays. But up until then, he'll be with me on Fridays, and we'll get to our de facto co-host in just a couple of minutes, and we will talk Bulldog practice as they're through 8 now. And also, I'll certainly touch upon the breakdown at ESPN.com with all 138 FBS teams put into 20 tiers by David Hale. And so we'll go over where Fresno State is in that tiering and where Boise State, for instance, is a little bit above Fresno State. We'll get to that with Jackson in just a couple minutes. But first, as always, other lead dogs. Want to spend a few minutes with you, beginning with our buddies at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Allow me the time every day to talk about the weather. Great local people. They've been in NorCal and Central California since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I might have been to do work even during COVID. Really professional people, very timely. Anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing, give them a call, 825-5337, 825-LEES, or you can schedule on the web at leesair.com. As far as the forecast goes, you can't complain right now. We are rolling into mid-August. It can be oppressive in this town, although we've mentioned usually end of July, start of August is the toughest weather. This right now is a great respite. How long it lasts, we'll see, but on the 10-day, it looks pretty good. A 90 today, like I said, make sure you're wearing a jacket out there. And as importantly, the lows are in the mid to sometimes low 60s. Some parts of the valley actually went back into the low 50s last, or the high 50s last night for a low, but it makes it really nice at night. Hopefully the smoke from the wildfires around our area and up north will stay away long enough for us to allow to have the whole house on and everything else. That makes it a lot easier at night. Anyway, 90 today, low at 62, 92 tomorrow, 94 Sunday, and then next week we go 95, 94, 95, 96, 95 across Monday through Friday, and the extended 96, 97 a week from this weekend. So we are not that close to 100 degrees. That could change, but right now it's a very pleasant forecast for this time of year, and I hope people enjoy it out there. Also, one more warning again, be very careful around the waterways, particularly stay away from the rivers. Anyway, thanks everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time to tell you about the weather again. Anything you need to schedule, leesair.com or 825-5337, 825-LEES. They also sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline. Jackson is waiting on that line right now in Gonzo in the morning and Phil in the afternoon can not only bring their guests up on the Lee's Air Hotline, but callers from the general public can jump on those two shows, 7 to 9 a.m. in the morning with Gonzo, 3 to 6 normally with Phil in the afternoon, though, as I mentioned, Phil is off today. That Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. Final reminder comes courtesy of another longtime friend and great businessman in the area, and that's Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. 26 years Joe has had his terrific business. Right now he is at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103. You can always give him a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or go to the web at superiorpipeusa.com. Pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, all there for you under one roof. Joe, a terrific guy, great supporter of athletics around Fresno State, and someone who really puts his heart and soul into his business. That's why it's been very successful over these years. If you're someone who's working around a valve in particular, if you have a problem, Joe or Gabe, who works for Joe, they are the people to see. Joe will tell you immediately how quickly he can get on things. And if you have a valve problem, if you're a plant maintenance person, tanker delivery service operator, maybe you work at a chemical plant, you might be around the dairy, anybody who works from an industrial standpoint around a valve, if that valve goes down, your business can go down with it in a big hurry. What Joe can do with his personalized service is analyze your situation. If it's a minor hit to you, he'll get you back up and running almost immediately. If it's a more substantial problem, he will set about a game plan to get you back up to full song as quickly as possible. Again, it's not that impersonalized situation where you're in a voicemail tree and you're hoping someone talks to you. Joe will sit down with you, or if you can't make it in person, take your phone call, analyze that situation, same day estimate, same day service, get you in a position where you're back up financially and productivity wise 100% as quickly as possible. If you want more information, SuperiorPipeUSA.com, or Gabe has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. When Joe is done helping your situation, if you have a few minutes, he would like to spend some time telling you what he has done as a benefactor at Fresno State for 3+ decades. And we'll tell you right now, the best way to go about it, go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link at the top. You can't miss it. Click on that. Take you to different areas of potential donation. The BDF is there, BulldogFoundation.org. Under that header is Club Red for former student athletes, coaches, and trainers to get involved. The major giving societies are there. They have their links, the Green V Society, the Myers Champion Circle. Under ways to give, you have Valley Co-op, which is the critically important matching funds entity. Valley Fueled is there. And then the sports clubs, where your money goes directly to a given sport, for instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Ferdy with me every week to talk basketball. Board of directors of the timeout club, he said they'd love to have more members. It doesn't cost that much. It's a great social organization in addition to inside information you'll get during the meetings. Jack has said if you want more information about membership, give him a call directly on his cell, 559-287-3305, or hit him up on his email, ferdyjack@aol.com. You'll also find links for other sports there, for instance, Dugout Club for Baseball and other men's and women's sports under ways to give. And then finally, the singular word more is there for just that, more information. That header, click on that, take you to information for tickets and parking for all events on campus, and also how to order tickets through iPhone or Android devices. And then the final reminder comes from the station and the university, and that is Bulldog Sports Enterprises. That is the partnership we have with Fresno State now, is where the flagship. And, of course, we look forward to September 4 starting or restarting our relationship with Fresno State. But this time, a true partnership. There's no outside entity. Last time we were involved, Learfield was still part of the process, taking the majority of the profits. This time, an 80-20 breakdown goes to Fresno State with Bulldog Sports Enterprises. So you have Chris and Ryan and Enrique and Nico, everybody at the station working with Saul and Garrett and the administrators at Fresno State to try to drive things forward financially. That is in large measure how things happened with the wonderful company. And if you want to get involved, go to the website at 1430ESPNFresno.com. In addition to GoBulldogs.com, there's always going to be somebody there for you. Their phone numbers there, contact information. If you're a businessman who want to get involved in Bulldog Sports Enterprises, please take those avenues. If you're a private person who does have some money you want to invest in Fresno State in that regard, same situation. Somebody will get back to you and try to drive things forward with your help. And that's what Fresno State and the station looking at right now, the help of the community to make Fresno State competitive as we roll into the Pac-12. Anyway, thanks to Joe Cruz for allowing us the time to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. Check out his business, SuperiorPipeUSA.com. That's where you'll find everything for Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. I'll tell you more about his business a little bit later on when we go over the schedules. And thanks, as always, to our buddies at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And right now, on that Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430, our de facto co-host, King of the Barkport, it is Sir Jackson Moore. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
I'm, as usual, Jackson, a ray of sunshine. You know that. You know how much I brighten your life. I do that with everybody I'm around. I brighten their life by leaving the room. That's the key with me. The minute I leave, things get better for everybody. That's how I've based a career in 50-plus years. And you know that already, don't you? Everybody says it's great when he's not here. All right, it's the key. Key to my relationships, Jackson. No communication whatsoever, and I try to stay as scarce as possible in regard to interpersonal reaction in person. So you want to mark those down. That'll hold you in good stead. Did you get married yet, by the way?
Engaged, at least.
No. By the way, apropos of nothing, but you traveled all the way across country to your fiance. Am I right about that?
We traveled together.
Okay, and things are still going great?
Yes.
Hello?
I think we passed the test.
If you're still speaking to one another after a couple of weeks traveling together, yes, you're destined for a great long-term relationship. Congratulations. Well, I lost you there for a minute. We were going to get a Larry King. You were about 2 seconds away from Cleveland. You're on with Larry King. Hello. You know, we're not going to do that anymore because Larry's been dead now for, I think, 105 years. Larry was 117, by the way, when he died. I don't know if you're aware of that. All right. That's enough out of me except for the show. I want to start, before we get to practice, with David Hale's piece at ESPN.com. Again, took all 138 FBS football-playing schools, put them in 20 different tiers, Jackson, and the Bulldogs were in tier 14. But I want to start with where we find somebody else in the pack, and also, very interestingly, where we find UNLV of all teams. Tier 9, so you're saying there's a chance. That's right. Jim Kerry's going to show up at any time now. It's the list of group of six schools that would have a chance more than most to make the college football playoff. In that list, Boise State is there, San Diego State is there, and UNLV is there. The others, James Madison, Navy is there, North Dakota State, Toledo Rockets are there, South Florida, and University of Texas San Antonio, somebody we've talked about a great deal as what would be nice to be another member of the pack. But I want to ask you about this, Jackson. I'm not surprised to see Boise State there. But San Diego State in the polling, in the informal polling, was even picked to be in the top three in the conference, right?
Yeah, you got, I think for the Pac-12, I look at it as being five contenders, and I'm sure we'll discuss it a couple tiers down. There's three more Pac-12 schools, so you've got five, I think, Pac-12 programs that are going to be battling, but if you're talking about getting to the playoff, it's all circumstantial. And I would like to think that a Pac-12 or an American Athletic Conference champion would probably be the best team in the field. But if that champion's 11-2 and someone comes out of the MAC at 13-0, they might get that opportunity just because of the records. And the we've seen some teams from the Conference USA or the Sun Belt overseed some of those champions in the Pac-12 or previously the Mountain West. So it's still, I think you can only count so many contenders from each conference to realistically have a shot.
Well, you're right. And certainly the informal polling was just that, informal. And I agree with you. We had talked about it the other day. You can take almost half the conference and slice it right in the middle of the pack and say, you know, you've got a legitimate shot with these four. And like you said, maybe you can stretch it to five of the eight. The UNLV situation I find interesting, and I think you answered a lot of it with your comments in regard to the MAC and Toledo, and that is, UNLV is going to play a lesser schedule, if you will, at least in conference, because they're staying behind, of course, in the Mountain West. But we saw Boise State do this a lot of the years. Schedule the old just enough schedule, right? The one where they had maybe one challenge, and the rest of the time they made sure they weren't tested non-conference. Is UNLV smart to be in a least objectionable route, Jackson? Is that what they're trying here? I don't think that was the intent of the administration. I'm not talking about the athletic department, but the upper administration, I think, wanted the money, right, to hang around. But as UNLV inadvertently built a better mousetrap in regard to the college football playoff by staying in the old Mountain West?
I mean, if they can dominate the Mountain West and have that kind of a run within that conference, it would probably pay off in the long run, the type of attention they'd be getting annually, and to have a chance at that playoff. I think their non-conference schedule as well, on top of the Mountain West schedule, is one that probably just enough, as mentioned. You've got games against Memphis, at North Texas, and Cal. Those are all, I mean, they could go 0-3 in those games, but none of them are obvious losses. They don't have a ranked opponent or a big payday on the schedule either, on top of the conference situation. So, you know, they have a schedule that's built if they go on the run. You know, they might hop over a team that could be better at 11-1 or 10-2, but suffered some losses along the way against better teams.
Well, and the point you brought up at the start, it is very much circumstantial. And because of that, you have to look at the competitive nature of your conference first, meaning you should strive to be in the most competitive conference you can be in. And if the offshoot in a given year happens to be the college football playoff, fine. But if what you're trying to do, and again, I'm not saying UNLV did this, I don't think that there was that much forethought about how competitive they might be in regard to the college football playoff. One more time, you had an academic and a university president that wanted the money that Narvaez was promising, and that's why the athletic department at UNLV has been so angry about it. But if you're going to stay in a lesser conference most of the years, even though you dominate it, you're not going to get in unless you're lucky enough that all the planets align for you. The one point that was made about this Tier 9, and it starts with the question, how hard is life in the group of six these days? And David Hale went through the all-conference teams in the American, Conference USA, the MAC, Mountain West, and Sun Belt, and found 76 players with remaining eligibility of those from last year, Jackson. Just 23 of them, only 30%, returned to the same school. That is the cold, hard reality, and Hale brought up what we've talked about. He said it's hard to argue that outside of the top programs, the group of six is anything more than a developmental level for guys who will bolt for the Power Four and significant money. I don't think you and I can counter that argument. I think we've been in support, unfortunately, of that reality, right?
True in the greater scheme. I think if you're Fresno State, that could very well be your ace this season, where you only lost one key player to the portal to the same type of circumstances that those other teams lost theirs. Well, the Bulldogs only had one all-conference player, at least on the first team, and Jacob Spomer graduated, so nothing you can do about that. But you know, at fall camp, you talk to guys like Speedy Luke about leadership and this being a player-driven team, and you look around that offense, and you've got Luke, who at this time last year was a brand-new player, and linemen like Braden Walton and Roland Fullwood, who had never started a game a year ago, and now you've got those vocal leaders, the player-driven type offense with some players like that that you didn't have last year. And some teams, those players left, and they went to other schools. So the Bulldogs have a very high retention rate. They really threaded the needle this offseason, and that may be a difference maker between them and the other group of six schools, because there is a pretty good gap between what the Bulldogs did and what a lot of other programs went through.
Again, we were talking about Tier 9, and if you're just tuning in, David Hale, just up at ESPN.com, went through all 138 FBS teams, put them into 20 tiers. Obviously, at the top, you have your national title contenders, etc. Just talking about Tier 9, where Boise State and San Diego State exist, at least in Hale's opinion, and UNLV. down to Tier 14, that is the remainder of the group of six contenders. In that, you have Army, Buffalo, East Carolina, and then fourth is Fresno State, below the Bulldogs, Memphis, Miami of Ohio, New Mexico's there, Ohio, University of Ohio, Old Dominion is there, Texas State is there, and then Troy and the Tulane Green Wave. Is that where you perceive Fresno State? Because that is a clear distinction they're making, that the Bulldogs, in David Hale's opinion, are at best the fourth best team in the pack, or at least third best team in the pack, depending upon how you want to look at Texas State in the same tier as Fresno State. But definitely Hale has Boise State and San Diego State out front of Fresno State. Is that an accurate view in your opinion?
You know, I think most projections you're looking at Boise State 1, San Diego State 2, Fresno State 3, Texas State, Washington State 4 and 5. So if you're going to draw the line between 2 and 3 and separate them that far, I can see where you get to that. But I really don't think there's a big difference between 1 to 5 in the conference, and particularly 2 to 5. I'm not sold Boise State is going to be an overwhelming favorite in the conference, especially after what the Bulldogs did to them last year. But they do seem to find a way one way or another. And you know, I think if you have to assume someone's going to win, you probably pick them. But I think the top four or five, there's going to be a lot of parity. They're also the teams that aren't anywhere near these two tiers, they're not going to be easy wins either. So I think just on paper, that's probably where you put Fresno State, but you know, the reality could be very different. There's a chance that they may be superior to San Diego State. Maybe it comes down to Fresno State and Boise State instead of the Aztecs, or maybe Texas State or Washington State proves to be a bigger deal than what they're being listed at. So I think the Bulldogs have a recipe here with all the players coming back. The way the defense looks with Coach Benedetto, if the quarterback and the cornerbacks, two spots that are really the big question marks right now, if they pay off, it should be a really good Fresno State team that is more than capable of winning the Pac-12 and hopefully being in that playoff discussion. But I think it's one of those things where in the preseason, they have to prove it to the national pundits. For the time being, they kind of are where they are.
Right. Well, you, one thing here is a sidebar, and maybe David Hale needs to clarify this. In Tier 14, where Fresno State is at, the contenders for the group of six, it is clearly in alphabetical order. Now, maybe that's coincidental. That would be a rather large coincidence when you have, you know, almost 10 teams there. But when I go back to Tier 9, it looked like it's also in alphabetical order, except when you get to a situation where it has San Diego State, then Toledo, then South Florida. So that is not an alphabetical order. And I bring this up, Jackson, only because it would be nice to know if that was just an inadvertent typo that they were supposed to have moved South Florida up and Toledo down, which would have put everything in alphabetical order, which meant there wouldn't have been a preference. Is Boise State at the top of the contenders in Tier 9 because they happen to be alphabetically with the B, the first that would come up? And in Fresno State situation, the Bulldogs are fourth. Are they fourth because they're fourth alphabetically? Kind of nice to know that, right? Because there's a difference between that and being at the very bottom. So maybe you ought to give David a call and see if he can clarify that for you, okay? So, all right. Well, opinions are just that. We talked about it before. Everyone has one, and most of them are malodorous, right? But do you find anything terribly, thank you very much, don't you dare. malodorous was the best I could do. You want to use something else, you go right ahead, Jackson. But do you find any issue with any of this other than saying, like you said, you can probably throw at least half of the pack in a hopper and take your pick? Any major issue with what Hale has listed?
Yeah, I think that's probably about it. At least in the Pac-12, I think the top five are all going to be pretty close together. I think it's I don't know if I like the group of six champs, you know, contenders being Tier 9 and Tier 14. You know, you hope that they'd be a little bit higher, but especially since they're going to have easier paths to get to the playoffs than some of these Power 4 schools that are ranked ahead of them. But I also look at the non-conference schedule and San Jose State and Rice are in Tier 18, and Sacramento State's in Tier 20. Yeah. So it's just Bulldogs really got to take care of business there and get those at least three wins in a row and set the table for conference play. At least, again, on paper, it's all this is, but it does make you feel pretty confident about the type of momentum and the wins that they could string together before the Pac-12 kicks off, which would be big.
Well, you're right. And if there were true honesty in journalistic reporting, ESPN would say, we have to do this to look as though we're being democratic. In reality, we couldn't give two bleeps about anything but the big boys, so the rest of you can take a hike. That's how ESPN feels. They just don't want to say it. All right. So, well, you're laughing, but you know I'm telling the truth. All right. They had their druthers. They would just stay with the P4 and maybe just the P2, which is where we're headed, I think, in a fairly decent hurry in the 2030s. All right. I want to ask you about what's been going on in practice. Latest update here. I know you were talking about Speedy Luke and others. What is your overview after, what, 8 practices now?
Yeah, it's been hot. It's been nice to see the team persevere through some of that. I know on Wednesday it was a little bit of a down practice. Thursday they bounced right back, it appeared. So it was nice. You know, you're already, it feels like you're in the heat of fall camp. They're overcoming some adversity already. We're kind of in that stretch where players get tested, and the consistency, the energy, the momentum gets tested. For the most part, the team has stayed rather healthy. Besides what they came into camp with, there's quite a few players banged up, but nothing that appears to be dangerously long-term for the team. So feel good about how they've come out so far. I think Saturday, it sounds like it's going to be a big day where they go from install and periods to getting a little more situational, a little more driving the ball downfield. And I think that's big for the quarterbacks. That's really going to tell the story here. And there's a lot of players on defense. There's a lot of depth at D-line, at safety, linebacker even, and I think these scenarios are going to figure out who's ready to contribute and who needs some more time to develop.
Well, you and I, as I mentioned when we talked off air, we're going to talk about defense today. We'll have a few minutes to do that. It definitely was the strength of the team last year. There's no doubt about it. The quarterbacking play was inconsistent, and that's being kind. And we've talked about the quarterbacking battle coming up this year. But Jackson, one more time, with the way Matt Entz wants to administrate the game itself, you know this. The Bulldogs don't want to take a lot of chances offensively. They want to rely on their defense to shorten the game the same way they want their running game to shorten the game, meaning they want their defense to force those three and outs and keep the pressure on the other team's defense, bringing them back on the field in a big hurry and try to wear people down in the fourth quarter. Is this defense going to be as good or maybe better than last year's, which was very good? Well, for the most part, a couple of glitches, including Colorado State, didn't help. But by and large, after the Kansas game, this defense was pretty damn good. What about it this year on paper?
Yeah, I think, you know, thinking back on last year, obviously it took a few weeks to get going. Even Oregon State could have been better.
Right.
Once they got going, they were really strong. And I look at where a lot of that came from. I feel like a lot of it was from the defensive line, and so much of them are back, and you've got a whole lot of depth. There's a lot of players that would have played last year that missed time, that got injured either before or during the season, and they've got pretty much a full deck. You know, as long as they replace Ben Claypool on the edge, Corey Foreman as well, if they can do that, everything else should be elevated even better than what it was last year. So I think, you know, it all starts up front, the run stopping. You got most of those guys back and ready to go and in better shape and more experience. But I think that was, again, you had a lot of players, defensive tackles, have never played any college football really at a meaningful amount. And they're starting off the season with those games against Kansas and Oregon State. And by the end of the year, they're stopping just about anyone that was lining up against the Bulldogs. So you carry that over, I think that puts the Bulldogs in really good shape up front. Hearing a lot of great things about Titus Kajavi and Kavion Thunderbird playing together. That's been a dynamic where you wondered if they would feel the loss of Jaden Pearson being graduated. But Kajavi had an interception earlier this week, and Thunderbird is being a little bit more of the linebacker in space. So it sounds like those two are really playing well together. There's a lot of depth at safety as well. several options to start, a couple of returners there, and you just kind of cross your fingers that you don't have a setback at cornerback. Of course, replacing William Hamilton and Jakari Embley is going to be very difficult, and we're kind of used to being in an era where you go find replacements in the portal, but they're going with the developmental side instead. They're calling up Keontre Harris and Loyal Muzan, who appear to be front runners for those starting jobs. So that's the one spot where you just cross your fingers a little bit and hope that, you know, if they can play up to par, the defense as a whole should be even better, especially you think about August, September of 25 compared to what it should be in 26. I think it's going to be a real big difference, and you know, hopefully that's meaningful when they play USC.
Well, in that USC game, it's that double-edged sword that we always talk about. You want to go to the Coliseum and be very competitive and hopefully put yourself in a position to win. As you mentioned, Jackson, they had an opportunity not that long ago there, but the quarterbacking play at Fresno State wasn't that great. When they had the great quarterbacking with Hayner, he got hurt, and you had Caleb Williams and those guys there. Bulldogs have had some chances against SC. They've been blown out a lot of the other times. But the crazy part of it is, and you know this, if you play that game, whether you win it or lose it, if you play it and win it, then you are looking at a real opportunity, if SC has a good year, to go on to the college football playoff. But even if you lose it, you still want the Trojans to have a great year, right? Because you don't get hurt by losing at the Coliseum as long as the Trojans aren't mediocre after that, correct?
Right, and that's really, as I mentioned, the other three non-conference games are at the very bottom of the perception of all the college football tiers right now. So there's going to be a lot hinging on that performance, whether Bulldogs keep it close or even pull it off. You know, that's got to be something that you can point to on the resume at the end of the year if you're in that discussion. There may be some chances in conference play, depending on how some of the other teams start, to make some noise as well. But you know, ultimately, it's probably going to be tough to run the table in conference play as well, just for anybody. So you got to have the losses be as impressive as possible if you have them.
Well, the defense was good for the most part last year. Also, Jackson had the ability to turn teams over. Is this still a defense that can create the turnover when Fresno State needs it?
I believe so. They're making that happen in practice, at least. And you know, you hope there's enough snaps where that's kind of normal. That's not an issue with the offense, of course. It's always the trouble with full camps. One side does something good, it makes you worry about the other side. But been hearing a lot of the DBs, especially in the first few practices, were making a lot of noise. And as mentioned, Titus Kajavi had a big interception. And ultimately, it's going to come up to, I think, the defensive line putting the rest of the defense in a good spot. And what we saw in the spring preview, when the team was very vanilla, when there wasn't even blitzing, the new defensive ends that are filling some of those roles, they were in the backfield all scrimmage long. Tione Noah, who is not new, but redshirted last year while being injured, made a couple of games. He was a real factor. Dylan Hampson, the transfer from Sacramento State, was often in the backfield. And I think they're also trying to find some more pass rushing from the interior. I think a guy like Aquan Asiata, who missed last season, would have been in some of those passing downs in the middle. So I think there's a lot of opportunity. You hear Coach Benedetto talk about A, stop the run, and B, manipulate the quarterback. So they're going to be trying to create those situations where the ball might be up for grabs on those third down spots. And if you got a player like Simeon Harris in the secondary, you just kind of assume he's going to get a couple takeaways over the course of the year.
But that defensive line, we have spent so much time over the last several years, and justifiably so, talking about the O-line because it has been a question mark every single year. A lot of changes on the line, a lot of changes in the coaching staff there as well on the line. But defensively, as has been mentioned by virtually everybody who follows college football, it's tough at any level, but particularly the group of now, group of six level. The depth on the D-line, it's the toughest place to recruit to. It is the toughest place to get your depth. Does Fresno State have enough? You brought up names to be able to rotate guys in, which is what you want to do if you're going after the quarterback. Do they have that kind of depth to have two, three tiers to go after quarterbacks, Jeff?
Yeah, I think they absolutely do. I really like the depth of D tackle. Last year was a tough one. They suffered some injuries, and they went into the year with two starters that hadn't played, and Martin Owusu and Dejon Lafitte, and a lot of schools like Fresno State that have two defensive tackles that suddenly become starters and have good years. They might have left and gone to other schools, but the Bulldogs were able to keep them. So you've got that strong starting lineup with experience now this time around, and you've just got a bunch of players behind them that all do a little something different. You've got Mordecai Hines, who came on strong late last season. Logan Goodspeed was right next to him before he got injured. As mentioned, Austin Asiata missed most of last year. He was one of the few defensive tackles that had any experience in a game going into last season, so it felt like a pretty bad loss when he went down. Jairus Atele missed all of last year. He's back. You've got even Solomon Baker, the true freshman out of Nebraska. He's bulked up, and he's looking good at practice. I mean, there's about six or seven defensive tackles that I think can play, and it's nice to see that because you did have some depth last year. It got thin, but you still had Gandy, and you had Michael Jordan Jr. that played a lot in that second team unit, and they graduated. So to see all the players come back and get healthy, it looks pretty impressive in practice. And the bigger concern is probably going to be who do you move out of the lineup, so to speak. There's not going to be enough reps probably for all those guys. So it might be some hard decisions to make about keeping players out of the field rather than trying to find enough guys to get on the field.
Well, and we've talked over and over again, the way Fresno State wants to manage the game, that defense will determine how conservative you can be offensively, where you put yourself in a position where you don't have to take chances that we talked about. It's not so much the third and 13s or third and 14s. It is the third and sevens, those kinds of situations where you're telling your quarterback, look, here's what we're going to run. If you can get somebody open, great. If you can't, we're not going to necessarily run from scrimmage at third and seven with our backs. If you have the legs, and I think we have two quarterbacks now that do have the legs to get that yardage, go ahead and take that shot. But understand this, you don't need to take an unnecessary chance. You don't need to force it. If you get there and the play is blown up at third and seven, just throw it away. We're going to punt it. Our defense will hold up. Jackson, that's the way you win games. And we saw last year sometimes a quarterback who in that situation would force it and the turnover would destroy you. This defense, I think, will be good enough to enable the offense to be conservative when they need to be. Is that fair to say, if they stay healthy?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we saw them get to that formula a bit late last season. And the defense had some of the least yards they've allowed, some of the least points they've allowed in like decades at Fresno State. And while a lot of it was because how good they were, I think also a lot of it was the complementary football. The offense ran the clock a bit. I mean, won field position battles, and they put the defense in better situations than we're used to seeing. So I think that's the plan. Of course, there'll be scenarios where there might be trailing or it's tight and you can't afford to do it all the time, but that's certainly the way you want to come out and keep playing until you're forced to not do that.
Well, we look forward to it. Your optimism about this team right now, and of course it's going to be a work in progress throughout August, and without question, and we're not going to demean SC by any means. They're 14 in the country. They have the money to spend. They have their tradition. They have everything they need going for them. That game is not going to determine the season, whether you win it or lose it. It sure as hell would help if you won it. But just going into conference, your belief that Fresno State will be right there in the chase as we go down the stretch in the conference season?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm very confident they've got what they need. It's just, you know, at the end of the day, you start with Washington State on the road. You host Boise State. You go to San Diego State. I think all these teams are very comparable. I think they're all situated pretty well. Fresno State's really got to execute and come out strong in conference play. I think back to last year, you know, they went to Hawaii. That was a game the Rainbow Warriors really wanted bad and had opportunities to win, and the Bulldogs were able to get it done and get off the island with a W. I think they got to come out and have that same kind of performance at Washington State and build off that momentum. And if they do that, you know, they're going to be set themselves up to make a championship run. But I think these are fairly coin toss type of game. So I think the lines are going to be close, and you got two of them on the road. So as mentioned, a lot of this is circumstantial, and they're going to have to get some big wins on the road in October to put themselves in the chance to hoist that trophy.
As I mentioned the other day, because we didn't have great basketball and bat and ball years, it's been a long time since we've had a meaningful game in the traditional sports of Fresno State. The SC game, September 4th, going to kick off, again, the meaningful part of things. We've been waiting the better part of 9 months for something like that. And like you, I'm just looking forward to the journey itself, and hopefully it's going to be a great season. You and I will still be hanging at least every Tuesday and Thursday until the season rolls out to see how it plays out. Jackson, I appreciate it. Of course, you'll still be with me on Friday until we switch over. Special on the board, you guys still have 60%?
Yeah, still 60% off a year. You can join in right now and get access to all the fall camp coverage. It comes out to $4.67 a month that way for the full year to join. Also, we've got our dollar for a month if you want to take a little trial run and check things out. So, well, people head to barkboard.com and give it a try.
Well worth it. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you on Tuesday. And at the end of the conversation, if you'd like, since I brought it up earlier to you about opinions, and I didn't finish the comment, but I will. Opinions are like, you know what, everybody has one, and they're all malodorous. Would you like to clarify the rest of that for the listening public right now? I didn't think so.
No, thank you.
Well, again, I gave you an opportunity to end your career, and you just won't do it. I'm telling you, I'm very, very, I'm not mad at you. I'm just disappointed in you, Jackson. I'll talk to you on Tuesday, my friend. Take care. I'll see you. Oh, my God. Okay. De facto co-host Jackson Moore, the greatest sport in the world, barkboard.com. Take a break, tell you about the schedule. Back to the network. Phil is off today, and then very meaningful baseball tonight as the Giants try to stay out of the cellar in the NL West. We'll tell you about the schedules after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Friday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back to 252, about 3 minutes to go in the show. Thanks again to Raleigh for a great work on the board, and thanks to our de facto co-host Jackson Moore. He is a fount of information and also a really good sport, because I good-naturedly give him as hard a time as possible, as most of you know over the years, and Jackson takes it in stride, and I really do appreciate his tolerance of me. That's all I can tell you. All right, I want to tell you about the schedule coming up, Giants and A's. I wish they were just playing one another. It might be real competitive if that were the case, but they unfortunately have to play other teams. I'll tell you about the schedule right now for today and the weekend, courtesy of our good friend Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, it's all there. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. And we commend Ed for the great fundraising he does throughout the Valley, but in particular through the Lyles College of Engineering on campus at Fresno State to benefit those students, a lot of whom end up going to work for Ed at Precision. The goal, as always, to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully over the years, and we thank Ed for his sponsorship and his great support of Fresno State and the Valley as a whole, but one of the truly outstanding businesses you're going to find anywhere. Far as the schedule goes, the Giants and the Rockies tonight, 7:15 from Oracle, which means a 6:45 pre, and I mentioned it earlier, if the Giants were to have a rotten weekend, and they have had a few, ladies and gentlemen, if they were to lose all three to the Rocks, the Giants will end up in last place when the weekend ends. I certainly hope that is not the case, but they're not catching the Dodgers, the Padres, the Diamondbacks, or the totality of the rest of the National League. The Giants will be looking for tee times when we get to October. The A's have really been struggling. They are home tonight for the Rangers. The A's don't have much to play for except pride. The Rangers are two games out in the AL West, so important games for Texas in West Sacramento over the weekend. All three games on 790, including tonight, 6:05 the pre, 6:40 the first pitch. Reminder about the usual lineup, Gonzo in the morning, 7 to 9A with his great show, Valley Ride Show. Same for Phil with his great show Behind the Bench in the afternoon, 3 to 6. Both those gentlemen can be reached on the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. And Thursdays, Phil is at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian. Best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. Great conversation. Phil shows some good eats as well. El Paso across from River Park. And as always, Rod has some great sales going on. So stop by any day and see the furniture at Fashion Furniture. Like I said, nothing like it in all of California. Paul Metter is a fine show, long-running show on Saturday mornings from First Ring Sports, 10 a.m. to noon. That is Central Valley Sports Report. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, TDAD1 at ATT.net, TDAD, the number one at ATT.net. For the station, 1430 ESPN, Fresno.com. Get the live links and podcasts there. Get the app. Makes it a lot easier to listen. And again, if you can, get involved in Bulldog Sports Enterprises. It benefits Fresno State primarily, station, and the university in partnership. Will start our flagship coverage beginning September 4 on air with Fresno State and USC. Thank yous go out to Riley on the board, to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe Stainless Supply, and our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. We will see you guys on Monday. Phil is off today. Baseball after this, around 6:30 for both stations, and we'll see you Monday to talk about it with Paul Leffler on KFIG Fresno.